16 Minutes of Care is a podcast based on the CARE principles, a strategic framework that reveals how brands create impact by caring and, as a result, grow their business. In each episode, Isabel welcomes a company executive who explains how CARE has helped their business grow successfully and sustainably.
Kirsten Knapp is an experienced HR professional with a long history of working in the oil and gas industries. About 4 years ago, she moved from black to green energy as she moved to Vestas. And Vestas is a Danish wind turbine producer. She is executive vice president, and in that role, she is responsible for people strategy and culture at Vestas. I'm very keen to learn from her how she takes care of people. Welcome, Kirsten.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm very happy you're here. Kirsten, at Vestas, there's more than 29,000 people working there, and you're spread over 88 countries. How do you take care of people?
Well, I think it's a very broad question, and it's an important responsibility we have, I think, as individuals, but also as an employer. I would say there are probably three points to that. First of all, I probably start by taking care of my own team. Because I think, you know, if you run an HR function, a people and culture function, I think you are kind of the core of the company. And, you know, almost in every circumstance of every individual in the company, you might touch one of my employees. So if I take care of my team, I think we can take better care of the rest of the organization. I think the second thing is, I think I can also take care, and it's one of my passion areas, is to develop and bring the best leaders to the company. I think having the right leaders is a very good basis for taking care of the organization. And I think very connected to that, and perhaps we'll talk later about that a little bit more, is also to create an inclusive environment so that everybody can thrive.
That sounds amazing. I also read that you're looking for passionate people, for devoted people, and for energy visionaries. What does that mean?
Well, I think, you know, if you look today how you attract people at the workforce and what people are driven by, you will find that people are looking for a purpose. They're looking for, you know, something which fits their passion. And I think what we really like to address with saying that is to say, you know, if you have a passion to change the world, you know, to make it greener, to make it better, come and work for us. You will find like-minded people around you, and that drives us.
Was that also for you important, why you changed from black to green energy?
It was, and it's kind of somehow surprising, I have to say, to myself. I remember I really, really enjoyed for a long time to work in the oil and gas industry for very different reasons, mainly for the people, actually. I always found it's a bunch of very interesting, you know, smart people you're surrounded with, and I enjoyed working in that environment a lot. But, you know, when I had the opportunity to join Vestas and saw the purpose of what we do, the products, the ambitions, then I thought, wow, that's a really good place to be. So I think I kind of combine a lot of passions in that role, working for Vestas, indeed.
That's nice. You are EVP people. One of the things that we see in research, that 64% of millennials, they won't take a job unless the employee has a strong CSR policy, has a clear purpose. Can you confirm that for younger people this is important?
Yeah, I think that's very true. I mean, you know, funny enough, I think we always say millennials are young. And what I realize is the more mature I get, the more experience I get, I realize it's just almost, it's more than 50% of our workforce probably, meanwhile, maybe it's even 60-70%. And I think it goes so fast, and it's, you know, it's funny we talk about young people, but I think it's basically the main workforce we have today. So it's very, very key. But I also think, you know, sitting here today with you, looking back into 2 years of COVID and pandemic, I also think it's not only relevant for young people or millennials. I really think there was a, a value shift in the entire society. So I think it's valued for everyone. Everybody wants to do something good, wants to contribute to something bigger. So I do think it's a principle which is not only linked to millennials, to be very honest.
Mm-hmm. And is that something that you also see outside of the Scandinavian countries? Because we know that the Scandinavian countries are ahead when we think about sustainability and but also care for people, because there's a good balance work-life here, for instance. Is that something that you also see in other countries?
I think it's actually probably a good point. I think you probably see it different in other countries. I think some countries are maybe slower in adapting, but clearly, I think the younger generation, and now I'm saying young, I have to smile, I think they are growing up with a very different understanding of what they care for. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, they are much more, I would say, selective when it comes to choosing their employers, what they want to do in their life, how they take care of themselves. So I do think there are different speed levels globally, if you wish, but I think it's a general trend.
Having a purpose is definitely a good thing to gain employees. How can you retain them? Because they have different demands also today from employers.
Yeah, that's actually a very interesting aspect as well, because what I'm seeing is, you know, when you do research and when you ask people what do they like when they join an employer, what are they looking for? We developed, for instance, our employee value proposition not too long time ago, and we did a research with existing employees and employees or potential employees or candidates who would apply for a job. And what we can see is that purpose is one of the number one elements they're looking for. Now, you could say a company like Vestas, we have such a natural purpose. It's really, really easy to explain the purpose we have. So it's easier to attract people, and I think it probably is. But funny enough, it is not enough to keep people. So, you know, it's not the golden nugget, if you wish. So if you have a purpose for a company, that everybody just stays and you don't have a retention problem, I think it takes much more. And what I see is that I believe, again, also through the pandemic, what we are seeing is a value shift in people, and they look for more meaningful, I would even say, social interactions. And that is also a little bit what I'm trying to create with an inclusive culture, because I think people, especially younger people, they look for leaders who care. And that goes beyond, you know, probably the passion for what they do, you know, having an interest in them, making sure you understand how can you help them develop, how can you help them realize their own selves. I think that's the essence of what makes people really stick to a company on the long run.
Could you give a concrete example of how you do that at Vestas? Because everybody, of course, every employer says they take good care of their employees. How do you do it, and how do you go maybe a little step further than others?
You know, I think it's a very, first of all, it's a journey. You know, it doesn't happen from day one to the other. What I have tried to do in Vestas over the last years is really, in a way, make it simple for leaders to understand why it's important. And how I did it, you know, one, what you can do is you can probably come and cite a lot of books, research, and you always do that because you need the initial attention of people. But I think what we try to do beyond that is to touch people's hearts. And when I say that, you know, I'm sometimes thinking if I get the opportunity to have a speech in front of our 20,000 people, 30,000 people, or a smaller group of leaders, you have 1 hour or maybe 30 minutes to make a lasting impression and to really make them move. How do you do that? So my let's say, my insight or my clue to that is to really do something which they will not forget. So you have to touch their heart somehow, you make the move. And the way we're doing it, we are trying to make it their own journey. we are describing not only why it is important to create, for instance, an inclusive environment, but also how does it feel if you don't. So I invite people with me on stage, I let them share in a safe environment, you know, what they feel if it doesn't, is there. And it's very concrete examples, it's very real people. And what you can see is that the audience gets very touched by that because they know it's happening, it's real and it's here and it's in our company. And that's really how I believe we make progress, because those stories people don't forget.
Mm-hmm. Like you said before, it's about leadership, but leadership is changing today. We are definitely moving towards a more kinder form of leadership, I believe. Is that a cultural exercise that you need to do with all the leaders at Vestas?
Clearly, really. And I have to say, I've actually been yesterday in a group of people. We had an exchange amongst different HR leaders. And I've been really proud thinking about what we have done over the last 3 years, because we have started the journey 3 years ago, and it's a constant, I would say, intervention into your culture. Not only because people forget, because if you just think about, if you read something, how quickly do you forget? If you learn something, we know that, you know, you forget relatively quickly what you have learned, even if you try to do that well. But I think, so it's repetition, it's reminding people and helping them to make it stick. But I also think it's about creating a common language. It's almost creating like a common norm, what is good and what is bad. Because if you don't make it very clear to people, you have very different shades of what good looks like. And I think creating an experience which is consistently good is difficult when it comes to big organizations.
Yeah, totally. We won't have time to go completely through the CARE principles, because it's about collaboration, agility, reliability and empathy. But I would like to talk a little bit about agility, because diversity and inclusion is part of agility. It's about adapting your company to fast changes in society. Now, I specifically came to Denmark because I know that work-life balance is good here and gender equality is a cornerstone of the Danish welfare state. Still, I was surprised to learn that Danish men still earn about 12.7% more than women in average. Is that something that you can confirm that is also happening at Vestas, or how do you try to change that?
Well, now I have to say, you know, I'm a guest in this country and I love this country, so I will be very careful to judge Danish society. I think they have done a good job in many ways. But it's also a fact that Denmark, amongst the Scandinavian countries, is actually the worst when it comes to gender diversity. And there has been actually a recent study conducted by McKinsey, which they called the Danish paradox. Because funny enough, Danes think they are very advanced, and actually they are the worst. So that's not to point fingers on my dear Danish friends, it's just to say there is probably an element of truth to what you're saying with the disbalance of income. And of course it's systemic. I mean, you don't change those things over time. And if you go into other countries, you will find the same, in my opinion. Now, Vestas, and I think also other big companies, I mean, there is a recent trend that you do studies that you look into how do you pay equal, or, you know, as equal as possible. And we have, I would say, we are in a good place. I mean, if we find that we have differences which are really based on maybe women haven't negotiated as hard as needed, over the last years, we try to, I would say, over time, balance out these differences. But I think it's a general trend that, you know, also in other countries, you have more and more requirements to be very transparent about how you pay and the pay philosophy. And definitely, we don't intend to make any differences. Mm-hmm. But again, if you realize that you have 30,000 people or even a society, it takes time to correct.
Totally. Do you see any countries that are taking the lead on that level and that are really making big steps ahead in terms of diversity and inclusion?
You know, I'm not, so I think Sweden is actually quite advanced, also Norway, what I can see from, I would say from my time here in Scandinavia, also the research has shown that. You know, I've just spoken to somebody in Sweden not too long time ago, and they also confirmed, you know, there's a lot of Swedish CEOs who are women. You have a lot of senior women in leadership positions. So I think those are probably some of the examples I would look at.
That are ahead.
Yeah.
I would just like to dive in a little bit into the empathy part and into the reliability part, because care for people, they are quite sometimes related. And I would like to talk about psychological safety at work, which is a big issue today. How do you do that at Vestas, and what can we learn from you?
Yeah, well, it's a wonderful topic to talk about. And I think sometimes the best things, they sound so easy and they are so difficult to create. And I think psychological safety for me is very much linked to an inclusive environment. Now, maybe I can give you the definition how I describe an inclusive environment to our leaders, because I think it's very simple and I think it resonates with psychological safety. I'm always saying it's three very simple things you have to consider. First, the first step is, are you making people physically safe? I think it's one of our core needs, and if people are physically safe, they will feel better. So that is the very first principle. The second one is, can you make people feel psychologically safe? And that is really, you know, are you able to create an environment where you can speak up, where you feel you can be yourself? And the third one is, are you feeling welcomed? Are you able to feel, make people feel welcome? Because one thing is to say welcome, the other one is to make you feel welcomed. And, you know, I often talk about to our teams to say, do you remember when you got into a room with your team and you felt like, this feels weird, I don't feel I want to be here? And it's something, you know, there is something in the air, maybe somebody doesn't like you. This is not what we mean by making people feel welcomed. If you feel welcome, you enter the room and you feel like people are happy that you're there. You can make a difference. You contribute. You're invited in. And that's really how we try to also phrase a little bit how to create a safe environment, because it's very much linked. Mm-hmm. Because if you feel safe, you feel well. Mm-hmm. And then you can also speak up. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a... We try to make it easy, understandable, mm-hmm. and bring examples how people can relate to it better.
What would you say is the biggest and most important step for a person in your role to take better care of employees?
I think it's probably being vulnerable. I think in the journey, in my own journey as a leader, I think I had to learn this lesson. In my previous understanding, I always thought a great leader is somebody who does who solves every problem for everyone, basically. So you know, my self-understanding was I have to be better than everyone, and if I don't make mistakes, I'm perfect. And I learned that actually that's not what people like or even look for or even what's required. But what is much more powerful, if you're human, if people see that you also make mistakes, they want to help, they want you to ask for help. And for me, it was a big step in showing my vulnerability at a certain point. And once I understood that this is really okay, I feel that made a huge difference in my leadership impact. So I do think showing vulnerability is one of the key elements on that journey.
That's a great way to end the first episode. Thank you so much, Kirsten, for being here. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Take care.
Want to create lasting impact with your brand while feeding sustainable growth? Check out thecareprinciples.com and see how we can help you. 16 Minutes of Care is an independent production from Isabel Verstraeten, brand strategist, founder of The Care Principles, and author of the book, Does Your Brand Care? Help us reach more companies who are looking for caring and sustainable growth by giving this podcast all the stars it deserves and by sharing it in your network. Thank you and take care.